Jersey with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Ed Hagem, and it is so thrilling always when I get to talk to him because I love his book and I love him. He has a special way to think about the world and the universe and about how to make life a little bit better for all of us. And his book is called On the Road, Less Traveled, An Unlikely Journey from the Orphanage to the Boardroom. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Pat.
You know, you are so amazing. And I know that you have this special message that you want to give to people. And the most important thing, of course, is that you can't give up. And so many people in this terrible and stressful time, they are giving up.
Patsy, you're absolutely right. I mean, my contention is, obviously, for my lifetime, proves that anything is possible. But one of the things that I've proven out to is never be a victim. If things have gone wrong for you, the most important thing is use your energy to decide what's next. Because using energy as a victim really uses up good, solid energy in a direction that's not worthwhile. In other words, trying to use your energy externally to sort of take on something that's caused you a problem. Rather use that energy to figure out what's next. And that's hard enough as it is.
With this current situation, so many people are feeling that they are the victims of life. You know, that they've been sort of slapped in the face and their heads are spinning. We've all gone through crisis, financial crisis. You know, we went through the pandemic, we went through this. But this recent inflation and all of the terrible news going on is almost overwhelming. And that's why I think I'm so happy that you're here today, because your positivity, you know, you are a person who believes in four P's. You have your four P's, and we'll talk about them, your passion and principles and partners and plans. But I think your biggest P is positivity. You believe that anything is possible, and that's the most important.
Yeah, over my lifetime, we've gone through I was born in the Depression. We went through war. I was in orphanages and foster homes. And I was able to live the American dream. There's more opportunity today than in ever before. Obviously, these are not simple times. I wouldn't convince anybody these are simple times, but there's still more opportunity. Things like AI, things like digitization, things like robotics. By the way, people are going to have to solve these major diseases we have. We're working on the pandemic now. We're working on Alzheimer's. There's so much going on in the world today. My communication to young people is, just find your passion, find what you want to do, find how it fits in with today's world, and go out and do it. Because I think that's so important, that today if you can marry your passion to what's happening in the world today, some major trend, and there are so many major trends, so many changes going on that young people can attach themselves, and as well as other people who are changing their jobs and changing their relationships and so on. But I think it's a terrific opportunity. And I am positive. You know, as I used to say, and I spent years as a strategist on Wall Street, when these times came and people were down, I would say the world doesn't come to an end very often. And that's true, you know.
We hope. You know, when we talk about, I want to mention to most of my listeners, I already know much about you because I talk about you often, but who you went through a really rough childhood of living in orphanages, your father, well, I guess we'd say called it kidnapped you. You landed up in orphanages for much of your childhood, but you, at a very young age, you said you're not going to be a victim, and you were going to go to a proper college and get a great education, and you did it.
I was very lucky. The system is there. And by the way, when I got out of high school, there weren't many scholarships, and the scholarship that I got was given to 1,200 people in the country. So, you know, it's very lucky to get that scholarship. Today, there are abundance of scholarships and opportunities. In fact, I myself have about, 20 or 30 young people that are under my scholarship name. I just spent a day at Northeastern College where there are 20 Hagem scholars there. And they're raring to go. And they're young people that are very enthusiastic about what's going on. But these aren't simple times. But the world, as I say, doesn't come to an end very often. This actually, periods like this provide an enormous opportunity that things that have to be solved. I mean, people solving the problems of today are going to be the heroes of tomorrow. And yeah, I did have a difficult time. In fact, I was when I was 28 years old and I graduated from graduate school, I had a negative net worth. I owed the world about $8,000 or $10,000, and I actually had to contact the company who gave me my first offer after business school, give me some money so I could get across country. I was in Boston and they were in Los Angeles. So, you know, and then from there, I've been very lucky. It's been a very good period of American history, I have to admit that. The last 40 years have been fabulous, but I still believe there are so many things that have to be done and that can be done with people today. And it's still, we're still the greatest country in the history of the world, and we still offer the most opportunity to those who are willing to take it. And people are only limited by the scope of their imagination, how hard they want to work. This is one of these difficult times, but these times do provide great opportunities. As we saw in the 2009, when things looked like they were coming to an end, that was a great time to be involved in the world. And for the last 10 or so years, things have been pretty good. Now we've gotten ourselves in some unique difficulties. There's no two ways about it, but all difficulties in history were unique at the time.
Well, of course, when you talk about negativity, certainly so many young people today, because of this student loan situation, they are in the hole. And this has affected also their ability then to buy homes. So it is they're facing many, many years of trouble here.
That's very, very true. But I think that even then, there are certain people that have borrowed too much money. But the average loan out today to a college student is somewhere around $25,000 to $30,000. So that can be worked off over a reasonable period of time. There are some people who have overborrowed, getting up to $80,000 to $100,000 type numbers, which are going to be very difficult. But the average student that comes out of college today that has a loan, and not every student has a loan, is somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000. And that's onerous. There's no two ways about that. But it can be paid off, and it can be done. And, I think that you look at starting salaries today, the young people are much higher than they were before. So these things can be taken care of. The ones that are in difficulty, the ones that have overborrowed, that is another whole subject, and that is more difficult. And they'll just have to work their way out over time. But the average student is in reasonably good shape. And there's also scholarships, too, for people toward the end of their college term, that somehow they can get these things paid off. We have a program at the school, one of the schools I'm involved with, where if a person goes into nonprofit, I actually set this up, goes into a nonprofit, we'll pay off his loan over 3 years. There are programs around, and people with big loans have to dig those programs out and participate in them.
And I do like the fact that young people that are adapting to sort of the strangeness of finances, because many of them did not understand finance until they've had to start.
They had to.
as long as they didn't have to.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Exactly. People who didn't think about it suddenly realize, well, yeah, if I spend this much and I don't have that much, I got to organize this my whole life. And now with some of the apps that they have on the phone that people can see where their money goes, because oftentimes I knew this from the past when, now I was a businesswoman, I had my own company, I owned 8 franchises, and I would always be amazed at how my employees would not understand where their money was going or what they were spending it on. And when I would say they'd always be short of money, I'd say, well, yes, but you spend $5 for this and $5 for that. And what is $5 times 52? And it's only that. I mean,
so
really,
true.
How much you were spending on something ridiculous every week that they didn't really, really need because they never could multiply.
That's so true. And this is teaching people financial security. What do you have to, money in, money out. You have to earn a certain amount of money. You can borrow a certain amount of money, but you got to pay it back. So this is teaching people about finances as well. And we've been very, very, very privileged in not having inflation for the last, 30 years. We all of a sudden have inflation again. But there's been inflation in the past. The 70s was a particularly difficult period with inflation. But we got through that. And actually, there were some huge opportunities there as well.
Well, I miss that. And I was in the 70s. I was in Europe, and it wasn't the same as it was here in America, where inflation really, really hit people.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, I had a a 13.5% mortgage on my condominium at the time. But I was renting it out, and so it was actually, the mortgage was very high, but also the rentals were high at that time, so actually the rentals paid off my mortgage. I had a little condominium down in Florida, way back there in the 70s. So there's opportunity. They just have to keep digging at it. I have a son now that's in the real estate market, and he's now looking around for, distress stuff that people have to sell, and he's going to basically go back into the market. So you're going to have a huge play in real estate once prices start to come down again. And there's just all kinds of different things that you do. Also, there's needs. I mean, all the people, essentially what I'm talking about, there's a huge social requirement. If you're interested in helping people today, just like you do, Patsy, go out there and find a job in social service where you can tell people, look, and help them through the difficulties in finance and other things like that. But so these are opportunities, and that market is growing. People are, finding difficulty. And if you can help those people, and there are many, many, many associations that will hire you to help people, and if you're trained to do that, you can do very well.
I mean, this is one of the things that I find, for writers right now, it is very, very difficult, I will say.
Oh, very difficult.
For the middle-level writers who were, selling 1,000 books or 4,000 books a month or something like that, that really made a difference in their lives. And now with inflation, mm-hmm. a lot of people aren't buying books as much. And this is a real problem for writers. And I'm doing more and more trying to encourage people to read more and to understand investing in books and reading is probably one of the cheapest things you can do. Buy a book and go sit under the tree and read. You'll find your life much happier.
I just signed a contract for my second book. It's going to come out next April. It's going to be an expansion of the 4 P's concept. It's called The Island of the 4 P's. A modern fable. So I may put it into a fable about preparing for your future. And it's at the printer now. It's going to come out in March or April next year. But writing business is a very difficult business. And it's not a very profitable business for the writer, for the publisher, and a particular person like me. It's very difficult to make money in books. You have to sell a lot of them.
That's true. And of course, at least for you, you have this opportunity because of your business and your relationship with people that you have a wide reach. For many people, it is very difficult. And that's why I want to be very encouraging to them that continue writing, continue getting out there. What you have connections. You have people who know you. You have a built-in platform, which is wonderful. But we do want to get your book out to the young people. I want young people to read this book. And I think as we're approaching the holidays, people, really, you will be amazed if you give this book to a young person and they read about what Ed went through and how he had to struggle and how he had to work his way. He worked his way to the top and did it with class and style and ethics and just with good cheer, as you can hear it from his voice. This book is a wonderful book for young people.
Patsy, I've been asked a lot, because people like me, during what happens during the holidays are coming up. Now, I said there are four things I did when I was in college because I had no place to go. My father was a merchant marine, he was at sea, so I had no place to go. I said there are four or five things you can do to make, this is again, imagination. First of all, if you've got a roommate, make sure he or she takes you home, at least for part of the holidays, which is not terrific because when you get home, you look at their home, want their nice home, and you don't have one. It's a little bit of a downer, but it helps out. The second thing I found someone like me in my arena, and I said, let's go have an adventure. Take a train to Memphis or go to Canada or do something with that person. And you know, they're unique. During that period, there's a real bonding opportunity because you and this other person have the same kind of problem, and you'll take on an adventure. So when the other kids come back, young people come back, and they say, I had a wonderful holiday with my family, at least you had an adventure. But the third thing I did during my college days, and I did quite a bit of it, is I worked during the holidays. And there's a great satisfaction, and there's lots of work to be done during the holidays. I worked at the post office. I used to work 12-hour shifts. And when you finish a 12-hour shift, there are a lot of people there that are just like you. And you go out and you have a beer or you have a Coke and you talk to people and you really develop some friendship. One of the fun things I did, it doesn't sound like fun, was wait tables at a party on New Year's Eve. Well, that sounds very downer. Everybody's having a good time and you're a waiter or a busboy. But after that's over, there's a lot of booze around. There are a lot of waitresses and waiters to go out and have a good time. And you can do that. And then finally, the fourth thing I did when I was in college is I volunteered. Now, when you volunteer at holiday time, even though you have a difficult time, You meet people who have worse situations than yours, and so you recognize that in some respects, you may not be the luckiest person in the world, but you're luckier than some people. Those are the four or five things that I've been pitching for holidays. Is just got to get off your tail and go and do it. And work, finding work during holidays is, I find that, I look back at my work experience, I had three or four different jobs during the holidays. It was really a good deal. And I also earned money, which was a pretty good deal.
And so you can pay off all your debts.
That's right.
I am so happy that you're writing another book. And the four P's, do you want to name them?
Well, find your passions. Find what you really love to do. If you love your work, you'll never work. Find things that excite you and recognize they will change over time. I haven't got really the time to go through this, but, you know, mine, they start to form in high school, and mine were, you know, math and science, baseball, basketball, and girls. And over time, that changed to engineering, to, you know, to extracurricular activities, and finally to, you know, involvement. And the second thing is find your principles. Find those rules that you want to follow for the rest of your life. Start as early as possible, and basically find those lines you won't cross. And when I was very lucky, I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns made it very clear where the lines were and what I shouldn't cross. And if I did the right thing, I ended up at the good place. And if I did the wrong things, I ended up in the other place. Then find your partners. You need partners today in today's world. Find someone to love. Find someone you can share your life with. Find people who can help you in what you're trying to do by doing things you can't do, or doing things better than you can do them. And in my case, I found people that do things that I did well, but I didn't want to do those things. So I ended up doing things that I did well that I wanted to do. Finally, take all those things and put them into a written plan. You know, and then when you start writing down where you want to go and how you might want to get there, think about what's going to happen in your lifetime, what's happening in your lifetime, where you can ride a wave or a cycle or a theme, something where there's an unsatisfied need or a definite demand for what's going to happen. And there are lots of those things out there. So you combine all those things. I was at college the other day, and he said, Ed, you got too many ideas. Give me one idea. I said, sit down and write down where you want to go, physically write it down, and how you think you might get there. So those are the four P's. The book has been being printed now, and we'll have it out next March and have some fun with it. Going to send it out to high school counselors and so forth, so I can help young people just get excited about it. A woman wrote me the other day and said her daughter had read my book, and she was not sure what she wanted to do, and she's now applied to college, and she's off to college, and she just went to college in September. So I'm getting paid back pretty big for my book, and I really am thankful for that as well, and I'm going to keep talking about it because I want everybody to recognize that anything is possible. Education is the solution to almost everything. And for God's sakes, if you can help it, never be a victim.
I'm so very, very proud that you are on Joy on Paper today. And in time for the holidays, people, get this book. It's called On the Road Less Traveled, An Unlikely Journey from the Orphanage to the Boardroom. It's a fascinating book. Ed is inspiring. And I know that if you give this book, you are giving a young person an opportunity to start thinking about how to make a wonderful life for themselves. And Ed has done it because one of the things that he is famous for is having principles. And in his business, and as they read about what he went through in business and what he overcame, Ed, you are inspiring to everybody. And I just want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Patsy, thank you. You actually helped me because you inspire me. And thank you very much. You have a wonderful holiday. And thanks for having me on again. We'll do it again sometime on the second
We'll
book
do it then. In the spring. Right? I look forward to it. Thank you again, Ed. Ed Hagem, you are a fantastic person. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.